threatening to come into the church and take them captive by diminishing Christ and how central he is to our faith and to our growth in the faith. And so with all that, Paul opens his letter to the Colossians by praising God for all the evident work that he has done in their lives through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, before we read the passage, let me remind all of us of the main point of the whole book of Colossians, which is this. Jesus Christ, the supreme and sufficient Lord, enables believers to mature, resist falsehood, and abound in gratitude and godliness in all things. Jesus Christ, the supreme and sufficient Lord, enables believers to mature, resist falsehood, and abound in godliness and gratitude in all things. So let's go now and read our passage for tonight. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. So the main point from our passage for tonight is this. Give thanks for gospel fruit through gospel workers. Give thanks for gospel fruit through gospel workers. And we will work through that with two simple points. God's gospel fruit and God's gospel worker. God's gospel fruit. God's gospel worker. And let's start that first point, God's gospel fruit. Now notice in verse 3, it reveals what this whole passage is about. This passage is a worship-filled thanks to God for making and bringing gospel workers to the Colossians to proclaim the gospel of Christ that is full of hope. And that gospel bore fruit in their lives of faith and love. This whole passage is to thank God for those very things, because every step of the way is because of God's doing. So verse 4 starts what Paul is thankful for, which is the Colossians' faith and love. This is true quality gospel fruit. This is what the Christian looks like, the Christian life looks like, a faith in Jesus Christ that works itself out in a love for all the saints. And this shouldn't surprise us, because this is exactly what Jesus told us in John 13:35. He says, "By this, all people will know my disciples, that they have love for one another." So ask yourself, do these things describe you? When people think of you, do they think of a thankful person? And as someone full of faith, a loving person? These are things we all need to be growing in our lives. But let me encourage you all. These things, by God's grace, are something I really believe UBC is marked by. As many of you may already know, I ended up at UBC in large part due for your love for one another. Brandon Mendez and I were seniors in college, and we were looking for a new church. And Brandon was wisely asking people, wherever we went, why do you love your church? And we marveled at y'all's clear love for one another, and we've gotten to experience it now ever since joining this church. And we thank God for that. Now, even though the Lord has worked in us a love for one another, we never arrive when it comes to these things. We must do what it takes to stoke the flames of gratitude, faith, and love in our hearts. And notice, Paul tells us how to do that. Verse 5 reveals the fuel of these virtues, which is hope. If you want to well up with gratitude, if you want to grow in faith, if you want to be brimming with love, meditate on the hope you have laid up for you in heaven. Paul says that the Colossians look forward to their hope laid up for them in heaven so much that they've become exemplary in their faith and love. Like a sunflower seed that falls into good soil and takes in water and nutrients and then sprouts and grows into a beautiful sunflower, that flower faces the sun and follows its course all the day long, every single day. And we too need to, day by day, keep our eyes on the hope that is laid up for us in heaven. Now, Paul does give us a little glimpse of that hope later in this chapter when he says that Jesus is making us holy and blameless and above reproach to present us before himself, which is, we see that in verses 22 through 23. And he's doing that by uniting us to himself, which is our hope of glory, verse 24 or 27 says. Friends, we will be presented holy and blameless before our God and Savior in eternity. So keep your eyes trained on this reality, and you will grow in the fruits of faith and love. But that brings us to our next point and our final point, God's gospel workers. God's gospel workers. Now look again at verse 5. It says they heard of this hope in the gospel. And see in verse 6, it says the gospel came to them. And again, he says they heard it and understood it. You see, in God's wisdom, the gospel isn't a wind or a force. It isn't a life well lived or simply good deeds. The gospel is a message. It is a message to be heard, a message that must be proclaimed. And God has chosen that it will be proclaimed through his church, his people, gospel workers, through you. We see in verse 7, that person for the Colossians was Epaphras, a faithful worker. He came to the Colossians who were, as Paul says later on, alienated, hostile, and doing evil. And he preached the gospel of Christ that was laden with hope for a hopeless people. He told them of how they were meant to live perfectly in a perfect world, but rather they are sinful people in a sinful world, and how this made them enemies of God. He explained to them how Jesus, the Messiah, had come and lived perfectly in a sinful world and died on the cross, taking the sin of his people and the curse on this world on himself. And then he rose as the firstborn from the dead, so that all who would repent of their sin and believe in this gospel would be made new in Christ and raised to walk in newness of life, bearing the fruit of the new creation. And now this Christ sits ruling and reigning even now until all of creation is put under his feet, and he will make all things new so that we will live perfectly in a perfect world with him forever. This is the gospel in Christ. This is the gospel that is full of hope that the Colossians heard, understood, believed, and were changed by. And if you've never believed this gospel yourself, I beg you to repent and believe in this gospel even tonight. Believe and receive the hope laid up in heaven for you, and you will bear the gospel fruit of faith and love in your own life. For the believers here tonight, I would venture to say many, if not most of us, had someone like Epaphras, a faithful gospel worker who shared this gospel with you, and by God's grace, you believed. Give thanks to God for bearing fruit in that person's life, so much so that they would come to you and proclaim the gospel, so that you would have an opportunity to believe and be saved. And maybe even reach out to that person this week and thank them again. For me, it was two guys. They're not at UBC, but Mike and Logan, who shared the gospel with me over and over, along with week after week at Cross Church, hearing the gospel preached. God used these things to save me. And because of that, I love those guys. And I love Cross Church. And I thank God for all of them. But it doesn't stop there. Because as God's people, we should be thankful, but also fruitful gospel workers. Ask yourself, is there anyone who could even have the chance to say this about you? Who could say, I first learned and understood the gospel from, and insert your name, UBC. As the Lord bears more and more fruit in us, we should go out more and more proclaiming the gospel of Christ to those around us, praying that God would bless it and bear fruit in the lives of those who hear it. So make it a practice to be on the lookout for gospel opportunities. Share your faith with unbelieving family and friends. Look for ways to proclaim the gospel to coworkers. If you have kids in school, befriend their friends' parents for the sake of the gospel. If you're retired, what rhythms do you have in your schedule that gives you regular opportunities to share the hope that you have laid up in heaven? If you're in school, are you taking opportunities to share the gospel with your classmates, your teammates, those in your clubs or frats and sororities? Let's be a people ready and eager to share the gospel of Christ as God's faithful gospel workers. And finally, as we grow in our evangelism as a church, we too will grow in our desire to see God's gospel go out and proclaimed in all the world. This was clearly Paul's expectation, and this is our expectation too. I mean, our mission statement for this church is we preach Christ from all the scriptures to make disciples of all the nations. The reality... There we go. The reality is that there are people all over the world who will be born, who will never meet a Christian, who will never see the church gathered, who will never hear the gospel their whole lives, and they will slip into eternity as enemies of God, and they will bear his wrath forever. Like the Colossians, they are alienated, hostile in mind, and doing evil deeds. And like Epaphras, God's gospel workers must go to these peoples and proclaim the gospel full of hope to a hopeless people, with the goal of there being fruitful churches where there was no church, so God would be glorified. We want to see a people who were enemies of God become lovers of God, abounding in faith and love because of the hope they now have laid up in heaven for them. And this is exactly what UBC is planning on doing. We hope to be sending people out in a matter of months and over the years to go to peoples like this and proclaim the gospel and see fruitful churches planted. But in God's wisdom, this work, it takes all of us, not just those who go. So my question for all of us is this. What are you doing to see that happen? How are you involved in that work? What are ways you are making sure the gospel is being proclaimed to the ends of the earth? We know how it will end. Every tribe, tongue, language, and people will gather around the throne of God and praise him for eternity. So will you be a part of that coming about? Will you be praying that God would bless the work of gospel workers so it would bear gospel fruit in all the world? And just imagine sending out gospel workers from this church to peoples like these around the world and supporting them in their efforts in however we can. And by God's grace, celebrating together a people who were alienated from God, reconciled to God, and all giving thanks to God together. That's the dream. You know, Tiger Woods can devote his entire life to golf. But in the end, what fruit did that bear? What lives were changed? But when the people of God, God's workers, devote their lives to him and proclaiming his gospel, wherever that gospel goes, it will grow. And whenever that gospel takes root, it will produce fruit. And in the end, we can ask, what impact does that have? Well, that results in a fruitful people from every corner of the earth enjoying their Creator in his new creation for all of eternity. Which sounds worthwhile to me. What about you? Let's pray.